I'm sorry.
Okay. Recording has started.
Okay, start over.
Start over. Boy, that's hard. That's a hard act to have. Because a lot of these stuff are not rehearsed. So I don't even know what I said 5 minutes ago. I'll tell you that. Well, I get the idea of what I said, but it's hard. All right, let's know that at least we have the Word of God we anchor to. Amen? Okay. Faith is like having a compass and an anchor, you know, as it's sailing. What is that? Trusting God's Word as our compass. Now, we know that in Psalms 119, 105, it says, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Amen? God's Word. God's written Word and His wisdom. And His Holy Spirit that continually to illuminate His Word, that gives us understanding. That's our compass. And then trusting God's work as an anchor. Trust His work, not our work. You know, I can always say, yeah, I finished school. I have a degree. So what? Am I going to always fall back to the fact that I have a degree? But what am I doing with it today? Can anyone hire me because I have a degree? Not necessary. There are a lot of people who are without jobs who have a degree, for example. I brought it up because that was a conversation that just happened. But you get my point. What exactly is your anchor but God's Word, not our Word? In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13, this is interesting. I'll read it to you. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13 onwards. Oh, when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply you. And so, having patiently waited, he obtained the promise. For men swear by one greater than themselves, and with them an oath given as confirmation is an end of every dispute. In the same way, God desired even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it's impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. Now here comes verse 19. This hope we have as an anchor of our soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. Remember the veil, the temple? Jesus enters. And verse 20, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, and having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. This is amazing. God gave a promise to Abraham, and he's telling Abraham, you can count on it, because his work is where we anchor our faith. Amen? Often we don't recognize this as Christians. We think our faith grows only because we go to church. That's not true. You can go to church all you want. That doesn't add faith to you. Is your trust in the work of Jesus Christ is when your faith begins. What does trust mean? You have to follow through. You have to follow through. If I am standing here and there's a big chasm and a big gap separating me and T, and it's a distance, I myself may not be able to jump through that. I don't have that ability. But T says, trust me. Jump and I'll catch you. I was like, what if you don't? I'll fall to my death. But he says, that's not what I'm asking you to. I'm asking you to trust the fact I know what I'm talking about. So the question is, if I'm going to trust him, I would have to jump. Am I not? The same way, do we trust God or not? If we're going to trust God, we will jump. Not because he's only that he said so, he will do so. Amen? Mm-hmm. He would do so. Our God is not like us. Our words are cheap. No doubt our actions are more, you know, is what counts. But God in His Word and His action, they align. That's why I rather trust God. I anchor my faith in Him. If our faith is anchored on earthly things, we will surely be disappointed. Because the Bible also says, everything on earth will be burnt away. Why people lose faith? People lose faith in many things. People, government, love, society, especially God. People lose faith in God. People tend to have a very narrow perspective about life. On a daily basis, there are many stress and issues that becomes their daily bread, that forms their perspective. And unfortunately, it is often wrong and missing the mark. Our perspective has missed the mark. If you would just take some time and just stop thinking about yourself for a moment and just observe where God placed you. Just observe people for a second. How many of you like to people watch? Wow. I won't say anything. Chris, people watch. I'm not saying anything. Not kidding. Okay. I like to people watch. But more importantly, not like standing there and watch, but observe life. Observe what's happening. I love news. My wife knows that I love to catch on to news because long time ago, I recognized that, you know, right hand is where I hold the Bible, the truth of God. On left hand is what's happening right now. And I begin to ask God about His truth about to happen because He promised things will happen. And as I see what's happening in news, it begins to fulfill everything that He says. And not only that, I also start to take what I recognize and I start to observe how we are today with what's happening right now. As I said, and some of you recognize, there are plenty of angry people today. And people like to blame it on government. I said, so what? So what if there's a government that annoys you? Does it give us a justification to be angry? So what if somebody commented on Facebook that doesn't jive? Why do we have to respond? Right? Yeah, or just delete. That's probably the wisest thing to do, right? And not be too bothered by it. But yet here we are, we're so bothered by things. Because that's the way the world is right now. We need to bring back where faith needs to have the anchor and the compass. But if we are to learn from God and His wisdom, found in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, it says, for it is in it what? Which is the gospel. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, but the righteous man or woman shall live by faith. That's what God expects us to do while on earth. While on earth. We are to live by faith. Because He already knows what earth is like. And we should too. We should know exactly the reality of this earth. It's not a paradise. I'm in the work where I help people think about retirement, but in my mind, there's no such thing as retirement. Do you see anything in the Bible that talks about retirement? Retirement is created by the government. They try to reduce how many people get to work or have to stop work. That's how they came up with the age, whatever, 65, 59 or 55 before. You know, it's designed by people. But yet we know today, as people do retire, they told themselves this. Uh-oh. The uh-oh wasn't because they don't have enough money to retire. The uh-oh was, what am I going to do? So we know that a lot of people who retire and do nothing, their mind begins to spiral down. Am I right? It's true. So the way God designed us is to continue to live to the fullest until the day we die. Live not only in a way of fullest, like it's all about us, but with purpose. Purposeful till the day we die. That's the design of God for us. And that's why we need to live by faith while we're on earth. But you see, in Isaiah 28, 9 through 13. Isaiah 28, verse 9 through 13. And I'll read to you. This is interesting. It says, to whom would He teach knowledge? And to whom would He interpret the message? Those just weaned from milk? Those just taken from the breast? For He says, order on order, line on line, line on line, a little here and a little there. Indeed, he will speak to his people through stammering lips and foreign tongues. Let me pause here real quick. Some of you are thinking, what's going on? Here in Isaiah, God has been trying to reveal the wisdom, the truth, the good for his people. But when they are so stubborn, when they don't want to hear it, even though God would teach it to them line by line, precept by precept, a little bit, but they won't listen. And so for the same reason they won't listen, now they're adding on to themselves destruction, line by line, precept by precept, bad upon bad. That's what happened. There's no so-called neutral. But if we don't follow God, we're going to follow the things that is not of God. There's no neutral ground. Oh, I'm in the neutral zone. Nobody can touch me. I'm safe. There's no such thing. The only way you can be safe is realign yourself in God's truth. Amen? But even so, he will teach it line by line, precept by precept. But who would listen? Let me continue in verse 12. He who said to them, here is rest, give rest to the weary. And here is repose. But they would not listen. They would not listen. God even laid it out. This is a way of peace. This is a way you can have rest. But who would listen? So the word of the Lord to them will be this. Order on order, order on order, line on line, a little here and a little there, that they may go and stumble backward, be broken, snared, and taken captive. So the stubbornness of Israel, instead of learning the ways of God, have also gone in learning the ways of the world, and it only to their demise. So, for us, the wisdom is this. There are many things we're still going through. We're still learning. Maybe for you, maybe you go, I don't know what God is doing. All I know is I'm hopeful that I'm doing the best I can, right? I'm at work now. I do the best I can. I'm at home now. I do the best I can. You know, for the moms, we have children. We're doing the best we can, right? It's not easy. Husbands, we're doing the best we can. Wives, we're doing the best. Brothers and sisters, yeah, we're doing the best we can. I get it. But not a single one thing that you're doing the best you can is without the knowledge of God. And it's not without one that God doesn't have a say or wisdom in it. Amen? And that's why we need to learn how to, at the end of the day, learn how to just quiet down. Learn how to just find a place and just absorb all of that and begin to seek God in His perspective. No wonder the Bible says, renew your mind how often? Daily. And that's that perspective. You may have a hard time at your work. You still need to take a step back and just bring the perspective of God back into your life. You may have a heated argument with your spouse. You may have a heated challenge with your best friend. Whatever that is, your BFF. You still need to take a step back. Because it's important that you grow from faith to faith. Not just one time. Faith to faith. So how often? Not once, but every day. There's so much we are yet to learn and grow as a person. One faith moment leads to another, precept by precept. Building on Jesus Christ, salvation as the foundation of our souls. You can find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. It says, according to the grace of God which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I lay the foundation, and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. That's built on it. That's built on it. Amen. If you have even faith size of a mustard seed today, that's built on it. Let's not take that as, oh, it's just a sermon. No, that's built on it. That's why when that message came to me a while back, I realized, that's a generational thing I need to do with God's help. Until my father passes away, I still need to pray for him and still work through him. Need God to work through him. Once he's passed away, there's nothing I can do. Amen? Those who live by faith. What we don't see immediately is the character of Christ forming in us when we live, growing in our faith. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 5, as we know, some of you have heard this before. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. We exult in hope of the glory of God, and not only this, we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations bring about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. You see where hope is? Hope is where we need to grow our faith. Amen? That's why faith upon faith, from faith to faith, we must grow. And verse 5, and hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So because today is Mother's Day, mothers, what you don't see in all the stuff that you have to deal with on a day-to-day basis, the blessings and the hardship of raising your child or children, is shaping you to become a mother more and more each day. You may not think of it that way, or you may not see it that way, but it's shaping you, turning you to become more of a mother each day. Now, however, even if you have all the answers in the world, how many of you here have all the answers in the world to be a mother? And neither do I, so don't worry. You still have not yet become a mother unless you believe and have faith in taking part of the process of becoming whom God has intended you to be. Isn't that true? You have to partake, you have to believe. You have to know that God has called you to be a mother. Obviously, now that you have a child or children. But I say this because that's something beautiful that God is working through. Only if we abide in it. I have seen, I have heard that many parents regret having children. Oh, mothers or dad or whatever that is. Even though they were not prepared and they hated that process, the obligation and the commitment, so they abandoned their children. But let me say this. For us, we need to grow from faith to faith. Amen? That's a process. God is turning you to become who He wants you to be. Fathers, husbands, wives, children, brothers and sisters, it is vitally important that we understand this also. As a brother, God is still working in your life. Unless you believe and have faith in His process, what will happen? We will be easily distracted by the bread of our life. Whatever is our bread. We're so into our bread that we forgot the truth of God that comes from only from His mouth. Living by faith is allowing God to reveal His purpose to us each and every day. Faith upon faith, precept upon precept, word upon word. At Logos, we have plenty of Bible study. But let me say this, we don't have enough disciples. We don't have enough people discipling people. Yesterday, Dora was teaching Bible study. I asked her, what chapter of the foundation Bible study are you going through? She said, chapter 11. I said, what is it about? She said, it's about the church of God. And she began to explain, the church of God is about discipling the next generation. And then in my mind I go, uh-oh, I don't think we're doing enough of that as a church. And some of you have been having conversation directly with me, and I've always bring it up. Discipleship is very important. Discipleship is about preparing oneself to disciple other people, and we cannot stop. Amen? We cannot stop. We cannot just take the word of God, thank you, Lord, for blessing me, and I'm encouraged now. I'm just going to live my life. Well, I hope living your life involves discipling other people to become disciples of Jesus Christ. Because if not, that becomes a very selfish life, isn't it? I mean, don't you think so? I mean, we take all the blessings of God and we do nothing about it. Won't that sound a little bit more selfish than it is selfless? Right? So I think wherever our challenges are, I didn't become a so-called, oh, discipler or pastor overnight. I didn't. Please know this. I got saved when I was 21. I was running away from God the whole time I was a Christian. Meaning what? I received a calling at age 24 that I'll become a pastor. I said, no way, Jose. I ran away. I got married, no doubt, leading my wife to a place where I'm disobedient. At age 27, I remember this. I had an altar call and finally recognized my sin. I said, God, I told my wife, we were the only married couple in a college ministry. Besides the pastor who were married, Jeannie and I were the only two. We went to the altar and I repented. I said, and I brought my wife, I said, from now on, we will serve God no matter how He uses us. And then by 30, I got an invitation to become a pastor. And I almost go, and I realized I repented at 27, so I cannot say no. Didn't we sing just now? If God calls us, we won't refuse. I won't refuse. And that was my story. And since then, there's a lot of process that went through. It's not overnight. It's not overnight. But I'm only concerned if we never start. If we never start. So I want to encourage you to consider and think about that. Living by from faith to faith requires that constant growing and constant looking into God's purposes into your life. You may not know the very specific. People say, yeah, I know. What's my purpose? Am I a missionary? Am I going to Africa? Am I, you know, they're looking for those very specific purpose. I get it. You may not know it right away. But there are other purposes that God wants you to develop into and mature into that you cannot overlook. Am I right? Well, if somebody goes to Africa, a missionary, don't you think they need to know how to teach a Bible study? Don't you think they need to read enough of the Word of God to know His truth? And or mentor other people, counsel. You know, there's so many things that goes on besides just about being called to Africa. And so, we start today. See, in John chapter 5, verse 17, but he answered them, my Father is working until now. I myself am working. Jesus Christ is still working in each and every one of us. And I think that's a perspective that we need to continue to hold on to ask ourselves, all right, where do I go from here? I realize, I agree, we all need to grow, but we need to take solid, clear steps in that approach to grow. Faith upon faith. Is anyone today frustrated? Maybe you're frustrated because of the experiences that you have. Is anyone giving up on having hope? Maybe because we've known now, maybe you rely on God and didn't come through. You're hoping that you do your best to be a good steward, a servant of God, and you apply yourself at work. Come on in, hey, CJ. You apply yourself at work, and then you didn't get the promotion. Wouldn't that be a downer? Right? I mean, you did everything right. You proved yourself to be on time, in fact, earlier than most people. And then you're the last person who leaves your job. You did a good job. And then you didn't get the promotion. Anybody had that experience before? Right? Won't that be a downer? I have. He has. But yet, as Christians, that's why God says, we do not live on bread alone, but on the truth of God that comes from His mouth. Amen? Is anyone losing faith in God? Let me say this. Again, faith is not based on experience and what you see. Faith often can take seasons to be realized. Don't base on one season, like my brother and I, when one thing happened, say, I'm done. Don't be like us when we were young. But turn to God. Turn to God. The righteous are called to live by faith, live for the unseen. Keep believing, not in man, but in God. More so when things are not going the way we want. I have scriptures next to it. You can read up in Isaiah. These things that you experience right now, which are things that are not going the way you want, the Bible addresses those things. Because the Bible is written for our life on earth. When we become uncertain about our future, some call it the dark season. The dark season of our life, where we hear nothing from God, we're not sure where to go, and we're not sure why things are happening. We're just not sure. Dark season. It happens in the scriptures as well. And the Bible has an answer for that. Amen? We do not understand why things happen the way it happens. It may not happen to you, but you don't understand why things have to happen. People say, why do bad things happen to good people? It seems unfair. Am I right? It seems unfair. Don't you agree? But let me say this. I've asked that question ever since before I was a Christian. I didn't have an answer. But now as a Christian, I know now why. God is still in control. God begins to show me how shallow my mind is when I'm just in my flesh. I said, why do bad things happen to good people? And then God answered me this way. Why do you think there is a good people to begin with? And why do you think bad things should only happen to bad people? I'm like, whoops. How arrogant I am to think, in my perspective, bad things should only happen to bad people. Immediately, God right side up my thinking. It seems innocent in the beginning, isn't it? But once we spend some time with the Word of God, He begins to show you the entire truth. That He loves the good and the bad. How selfish am I with those questions? Finally, is God still your immovable anchor whom you trust? And is His Word still the light to your path? I really want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, put your trust in His work. Put your faith in His truth. I don't know how else to say it. You can take it as an advertisement. You can take it as a poster, propaganda. But take it anyhow you want to take it. This right here saved my life. It's not easy to be a pastor. Because I'm still a human being. But every single time I get the opportunity to get deeper in the Word of God, and not only for my knowledge, but for practical living. And I realized it wasn't only for me. It was for other people too. That helps me keep me humble. Because there are times I have feelings too. What are those feelings? Injustice. Feelings of what is right, what is wrong, in my way. I have those. I'm open. As a person, I am with a lot of opinions. I don't know if that's me, but I'm a person with a lot of opinions. You don't see me on Facebook anymore because, boy oh boy, when I'm on Facebook, I would like say something here, say something there. I'm like, no, you know what? It's not going to help me. I'm weak. I'm a weak person. So I don't use Facebook. I still have Facebook just to check in on families or whatever, just to see pictures of what's happening. But I don't use it. So you get my point. Today, let us consider this from faith to faith, from generations to generations. What we do today will affect the next generation. In fact, forward and backwards. Forward and backwards. I'm so happy to hear testimonies from so many different people about their fathers, their own parents that they are impacting now, even though they may not be in the best given situation, but yet they were able to still impact their parents. This is just amazing. God is doing something great. Amen? Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this afternoon. Father, we know that we're gathered here today It's not just for one celebration or two, but we're growing from one week to another. Father, I pray that we would have that kind of hunger and desire to go deeper each and every moment. Father, we pray that we won't take sermons as if it's just to fulfill that one Sunday. Father, I know that you have spoken to many of us today in different ways. Some get 1 point, some get 2 points, whatever that is. Even those who don't get anything today, Lord, I pray, sometimes it just takes time. It'll come. Father, I pray that we will have this in our heart, that is patience. Father, I pray that we also have this in our heart, that is hunger for the truth of God. Father, I pray that in that you will help us renew our perspective every single moment, every single day, so that we always have your best perspective in all things. Father, I pray, cause us, Lord, to be the light and the salt of this earth, the light to the world and the salt to this earth. Help us, Lord, to be the head and not the tail. God, help us, Lord, in the midst of darkness, we learn how to be the light that you are in us. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters today. If there's any consolation, Lord, if there's anything left at all today, Father, I pray that we are encouraged to grow from faith to faith, precept by precept, word by word. Thank you, Lord. Bless each and every person today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Can somebody let the kids know that we are about to adjourn to the next thing, whatever they're preparing. Good thing is we have tissue boxes, so get ready. Nathan, can you knock on the door? Yeah. This week, I know some of you have gotten some of the notification announcement on the Logos Messenger.